Abhajananti mamuta mamshi janamashrutam param param ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. From the other explanations of the previous verses in this chapter, it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing like a human being, is not a common man. The Personality of Godhead, who conducts the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the complete cosmic manifestation, cannot be a human being. Yet there are many foolish men who consider Krishna merely a powerful man and nothing more. Actually, he is the original Supreme Personality, as confirmed in the Brahma Sangita, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord. There are many Ishvaras, controllers, and one appears greater than another. In the ordinary management of affairs in the material world, we find some official or director, and above him there's a secretary, and above him a minister, and above him a president. Each of them is a controller, but one is controlled by another. In the Brahma Sangita, it is said that Krishna is the supreme controller. There are many controllers, undoubtedly, both in the material and spiritual world. But Krishna is the supreme controller, Ishvara Parama Krishna, and his body is Sachidananda, non-material. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manohistam Sthapitam Dina Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Gura Sri Jatavada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatanvitam Stam Sahivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhau Dina Bandhau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gauranghi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanam Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhau Vyayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadhani Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. For this verse, Srila Prabhupada has written an extensive purport. It comes to 4 pages, and we may not read all of it this evening. But we can start by observing that Krishna is speaking very strongly. Avajananti mam muta. Muta means ass. Asses. Krishna is speaking very strongly about those who have a materialistic conception of him. One time, Srila Prabhupada One time in New York, one elderly gentleman came to the temple, and he had a letter from Srila Prabhupada that, "Thank you for your letter, and when I come to New York, you can come see me, and we can discuss." So at that time, we were on 62nd Avenue. Prabhupada still had his apartment at 26. So the man had his letter. I brought him to Prabhupada's apartment. The man was quite respectful. He was with some yoga society as a student. Yeah, mobile check, please. Mobile's silent. So he was with the yoga society, not the mobile society. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, "Swamiji, I like your movement, I like your teachings very much, but one thing I don't understand is that one of your students said that you called such and such person a rascal. And it seems to me that he's a very holy person, and I don't see why you would call him a rascal." Referring to quite a well-known Indian spiritual leader. So Prabhupada said, "Who has said this?" Prabhupada said, "If they say that I have said, and I have not said, then they are rascals." So then the man was quite pacified. And Prabhupada took a book down from his bookshelf, a little blue hardbound book. Prabhupada said, "You know this book?" The man said, "Oh, Dr. Such and Such, Vedanta Society." "Oh, yes." And then he was very happy. Bhagavad Gita translation. So Prabhupada picked one verse. He said, "Read." So the man read, "Just always think of me, become my devotee, offer your homage to me and worship me. Fully absorbed in me, surely you will come to me." Prabhupada said, "Yes, he is translated very nicely. He is a good scholar." Now the commentary, what does he say? Read. The man began reading, "It is not to Krishna that we have to surrender, but to the unborn something, something within Krishna." Prabhupada said, "Just see. Therefore I say they are all rascals." Like Krishna is saying me, and he's saying not Krishna. In the Manmanabhava, Madhbhakta, Madhyaji, Mam Namaskuru, Mami Vaishasi Satyam Te Padijani. 5 times Krishna says me, and the scholar says not Krishna. What is this? Oh, that me means me, the person who's speaking. If I say, "Bring me a glass of milk," it means the milk is to be brought to me, not to something else. So Prabhupada said Krishna uses these strong words. Then Prabhupada picked another verse. Namam duskita namutha prabhyate naradama maya pratigana asura bhavanashva. Those who don't surrender to me are duskritina, mutha, they're miscreants, they're fools, they're the lowest among men, their knowledge has been stolen by illusion, maya pratigana, and asura bhavanashva. They're infected by the mentality of demons. Prabhupada said, "It is not my saying, it's Krishna's saying. What can I do?" Then Prabhupada explained that why is Krishna using such harsh language? Prabhupada said, "Sometimes strong words are needed to awaken a sleeping man. Sometimes strong words are needed." Just like if you see a person, he's about to run off the edge of his roof. You don't say, "Pardon me, sir, excuse me, but..." "Hey, you idiot! It doesn't mean that you're his ill-wisher, rather you're his well-wisher. But you have to use strong language or the guy's going to go over the edge. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada noted that Krishna himself sometimes used such strong language. And here we find it in this verse of Bhagavad Gita. Abhajananti mam bhuta manushim tanumashruta param bhava vajanita. Param bhava means superior nature. And ajananto means they don't know. Mama bhuta maheshara. That I'm the supreme Ishvara, Maha Ishvara, the supreme controller of everything. Prabhupada explains, Ishvara Param. There's so many Ishvaras, controllers. There's the controller of the second of the treasury, there's the controller of the army, there's the controller of this, the controller of the dog, the controller. Everyone's a controller to some extent. But Krishna is the supreme controller. Every controller has some other controller above him. But above Krishna, there's no one. Krishna is the supreme controller. Ishvara Param Krishna. So, unfortunately, people, abhajananti means bad mouth, derive. Even big scholars deride Krishna. Perhaps they don't even recognize that they're deriding Krishna. But that's what they're doing. That Krishna is a mythical figure, a mythical hero. Krishna is one of the gods of Hinduism, which is another way of saying the same thing. He's just one of the people from Hindu mythology. That means they're missing the whole point of Bhagavad Gita. At the end, Krishna says, Sarvatarman Pratyajya Mamekam Shadaram. Aham Tam Sarvapapebhyo Mokshishya. The whole conclusion of Bhagavad Gita comes when Krishna says, surrender to me. Give up everything else and surrender to me. And I'll save you from all material. I'll give you liberation from material existence. Now, if Krishna is just a mythological hero, if he's just a symbol for something else, then what's the use of Bhagavad Gita? What is the meaning of Bhagavad Gita? It becomes meaningless. It just becomes literature. We study Greek myths, we study Roman myths, we study Norse myths, we study Hindu myths, but it doesn't really mean anything. No. There is a personality of Godhead. That's the first thing. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadavur anisha. Materialistic theory is that everything is just going on by itself. But from Bhagavad Gita we understand, even from common sense we understand, that such a precisely arranged creation is working under superior intelligence. Intelligence means person. There's no intelligence floating around. It's someone's intelligence. We may not know whose intelligence, but someone. Not mine, not yours. Superior intelligence. So Krishna says, that's my intelligence. My ajakshena prakriti suyate situation. It's by my supervision that the whole creation is going on. So Krishna identifies himself as that supreme personality. Loke Vede Cha, in the Shastras also, in the Bhagavad Gita later, it's mentioned.
that throughout the Vedic literatures,
Krishna is celebrated as Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of God.
The whole Bhagavad Gita revolves around this understanding.
Krishna says, if one understands only this much, that I'm the Supreme Personality of God.
He knows everything.
Yomam eva masam mudho janati purushottama sa sarvavit.
He knows everything.
Then what does he do? Aditi maam. If Krishna is everything, then I should serve Krishna. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanamam. One reaches this conclusion after many, many births. After pursuing knowledge for many, many births, many lifetimes, when one comes to the conclusion of knowledge, one understands Krishna as anything. Well, let me surrender to Krishna. Well, this is the whole point of Bhagavad Gita, to reestablish our lost relationship with Krishna. Now I'm acting independently in this material world, and I'm suffering. Another time, we were in an airport with Srila Prabhupada and some devotees. Prabhupada was going somewhere, and one of the devotees had a little child, just a little toddler, and the child began exploring the airport. Prabhupada said, oh, he is very brave. And after the child had taken a few steps, he looked around this way, looked around that way, didn't see his mother, and his face started to crumple and he began to cry. So Prabhupada pointed out that this is like our position. We want to be independent. But when we're independent, we suffer. Now we're in this material world, we think we have independence. But what is our independence? Independent suffering. Suffering from old age, suffering from disease, suffering from death, suffering from rebirth. So many sufferings. Sufferings in the mind, suffering in the body, suffering from other living beings, suffering from nature. And we're independent. What independence do we have? If you, just like in the airplane, they always have those masks so that if the air suddenly loses pressure, you can pull down your mask and you'll be okay. But we're always living in an atmosphere where the air is provided. If it stopped for 1 second, we'd be dead. But who's providing that? Not that the American government has made some regulations that there has to be air everywhere. Krishna is providing. What independence do we have? For air, for water, for light, for everything. For intelligence. If you want to say, I don't believe in Krishna, you need intelligence from Krishna to say that. You need energy from Krishna to say that. Even for being atheists, we're dependent on Krishna. So, first thing in spiritual realization is to recognize that I'm dependent on Krishna. I have a relationship with Krishna. And then I should act in that relationship. I should act according to my natural position. If I'm a doctor, I should do medical practice. If I'm a lawyer, I should be in the court. And if I'm part of Krishna, then I should serve Krishna. The part serves the whole. Where all these days, you know, holistic life is the buzzword. But we're parts, we're not wholes. Not that by breathing fully and taking vitamins and organic, natural food and living a simple way of life, I become whole. I'm part of a larger whole.
That whole is Krishna.
So I only attain true wholeness when I revive my relationship with Krishna and after that relationship. And the perfection of acting in relationship with Krishna is to achieve love of Krishna. When we advance in our relationship with Krishna, when we actually realize our true relationship with Krishna, naturally we'll love Krishna. Because Krishna is deserving. He's the natural object of love in all respects. So here we're a long way from that. Therefore Krishna uses that word, mudha. They haven't even, what to speak of loving Krishna, they don't even accept the existence of Krishna. Or they minimize Krishna as just a hero. It's like an insult. If I mention George Bush and somebody says, oh, he's just a cowboy. Is that praise? Is it nice? Minimizing Krishna. Krishna is, oh, he's just fictional. How do you feel? Oh, this is such and such. Oh, pleased to meet you. I think you're just a fictional character. That means I don't take you very seriously. Don't you feel insulted? Speak of loving Krishna, insulting Krishna. There's no God. God is dead. Meanwhile, God is providing everything, and we're so grateful God is dead. Or God is impersonal. It's another version of the same thing. Because God has no personal identity, then I can do whatever I like. He's as good as dead. While the cat's away, the mice will play. Oh, if there's no God, I can do whatever I like. And if God is impersonal, same story. So I construct the God according to my own mentality, who has no personal existence. He has no arms, he has no legs, he has no eyes, he has no form, he has no qualities, he has no this, he has no that. Again, it's an insult. A person who has no eyes is blind. A person who has no legs is crippled. A person who has no ears is deaf. So their version of God is that he's dumb, blind, deaf, crippled. Therefore Krishna says, I'm a Janantu. They're insulting. They're insulting. Material bodies cannot perform the wonderful acts described in previous verses of Bhagavad Gita. His body is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Although he's not a common man, the foolish deride him and consider him to be a man. His body is called here Manashim because he's acting just like a man. A friend of Arjuna's, a politician involved in the battle of Kurukshetra. In so many ways, he's acting just like an ordinary man, but actually his body is Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal bliss and knowledge absolute. This is confirmed in the Vedic language also. Satchidananda, Satchidananda Rupaya Krishnaya. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the eternal, blissful form of knowledge. This is the proper understanding, the Vedic understanding. Not that Krishna is an ordinary man. Those who are, just don't know the science of Krishna, bring Krishna down to their own level. Krishna is a man. But Krishna showed so many wonderful things. He showed the universal form to Arjuna. all the universes within his body. He lifted the Govardhan Hill with one finger. This is not mythology. For God to do these things is not very difficult business. But the difficult thing is for us to understand it. God is inconceivable, so he couldn't be a human being. That's exactly our misunderstanding. He can't be a person because he's inconceivable. He is inconceivable, and therefore we don't properly understand. When he appears as a human being by his inconceivable potency, we think, no, God is inconceivable, this couldn't be him. This is called yoga maya, the bewildering potency of the Lord. Actually, something impersonal is more or less conceivable. We're persons, and the opposite of person is impersonal. So if material existence is personal, spiritual existence must be impersonal. That's our material conception. The impersonal conception is just the opposite side of personal. So we make a relative thing, just nullify it. But the full understanding is that he's not a person like us. He's a transcendental person. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. Divya Purush. He's a person, but not limited by this material world and its laws. We're limited. If I want to go to New York, I have to leave Brooklyn and go to New York City. But for Krishna, he can be in Brooklyn, he can be in New York, he can be in Queens, he can be in Staten Island, he can be in all those places at once. He can be in the heart of every living being. He can be within every atom and between all the atoms. He can be this, the reservoir in which all the atoms are existing. And he can do all of these things all at the same time. And still maintain his personal form. That's Krishna. People are very eager to read about some of Krishna's pastimes, considering those pastimes to be just like those of an ordinary man like them, like some fictional hero, some lover, some romance novel. They don't get it. They don't understand the meaning, deep meaning of these transcendental pastimes, because they haven't understood the first lesson. They haven't understood Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they don't know what's going on. They do not know what is going on, because they do not know who Krishna is. Therefore, Krishna says, if one simply understands me, he understands everything. Elsewhere, by the way, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yogeti tatvam chatva deham punarjanma nayeti amin sarva. If someone understands that my birth, so-called birth, and my activities are all divyam, transcendental affairs, if he understands these things with deep realization, factual, tattva, then jatva deham punarjanma nayati. Everyone has to leave this body at the time of death. But when such a person leaves his body, the person who's realized the transcendental nature of Krishna, punarjanma nayati, he'll not come back for another round of birth and death. Mani. We'll go back to God. But this is the business of our Krishna consciousness movement. To understand Krishna, to revive our lost relationship with Krishna, and to develop our love for Krishna. Jayatva supersedati, that will make us actually joyful, satisfied. And one thing else about it. Okay, thank you very much. Are there some questions, comments? Man is made, according to one scripture, man is made in the image of God. In the form of God, yes. Yes, it acknowledges that God has form. How can we be in the image of God if God has no image? How can we be copies of God if there's nothing to copy? Yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also showed the same thing from the Quran. And of course, from the Vedic knowledge, these things are most fully exposed. Even you can understand that we're supposed to be children of God. If the child has form, how can you say that the father is formless? Does it make sense? Child has form. You can understand something about the father by understanding the child. I'm person, my father was person, his father, his father, his father. And when we come to the original father, impersonal. Something else? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.